Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS 40 News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Rioting reported in several U.S. cities overnight. We have the story.
President Trump urges governors to get tough on lawbreakers. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Governor Kelly addresses protests in Kansas. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holliday. As we shift into a summer-like pattern in Wichita and south-central Kansas, temperatures continue to climb over the next few days. Our complete forecast and what to expect, it's coming up.
Washington, D.C. is trying to take control in the continuing protests over the death of George Floyd. Fox's Mike Emanuel with more.
Authorities really tightening things up. The curfew in Washington, D.C. was earlier moved up to 7 p.m. Eastern after last night's curfew was 11 p.m. And a lot of people felt like that was too late. Not everyone obeyed it tonight, but it did seem to cut down the number of people out on the street here in our nation's capital. There were some tense moments and arrests tonight. Helicopters flying overhead to keep tabs on the movement of protester groups. Plenty of sirens and some smells of pepper spray. A wide range of federal law enforcement agencies also out on the street tonight, adding a whole lot of muscle to what D.C. police are doing as law enforcement try to make those looking to loot or damage businesses or government property more uncomfortable, keeping them moving, hoping they would eventually head home for the night. No updates on the number of arrests here in Washington.
The Associated Press is reporting over 5,000 arrests nationwide since the riots began last week.
President Trump is threatening to deploy the U.S. military to calm violent protests.
President Trump says he will restore law and order in cities where protests have turned tumultuous and violent over the past several days, urging governors to deploy National Guard troops to help police.
If a city or a state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
As the president spoke from the Rose Garden, flashbangs could be heard. Police also used tear gas to clear peaceful protesters from nearby Lafayette Park. President Trump then walked through that park to St. John's Episcopal Church, which suffered fire damage during protests this week. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly talked about protesters at her Monday coronavirus briefing.
The governor calling for sweeping changes in Kansas and across the country to prevent what she calls institutional racism.
From our criminal justice system to our educational institutions to our public health infrastructure. It's time for elected leaders in Kansas to acknowledge that we have failed to give this problem the attention that it deserves.
Kelly says she was happy with the way both Kansas law enforcement and protesters handled themselves this past weekend. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Organizers staged at least two public protests over the weekend in Wichita after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota last week. Mayor Brandon Whipple tells KNSS News Wichita police worked with organizers to keep things peaceful.
Our police force is there to listen, to learn. I was there to listen and learn. The police were passing out water. I think that the speakers and the organizers at these events were the one that I attended. They were spot on.
Whipple commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
Zagsters says due to the effect of COVID-19, BikeShare ICT has been closed down. The company sent out an email to users Monday. Zagster has also closed down operations in other cities across the country because of the virus. The company says it has disabled all rides and will be terminating rider accounts. All bike stations will be removed later this week. KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Baseball and basketball still trying to figure out a way to get back to it in sports. We'll hear those thoughts in just a few minutes.
One Florida sheriff reminding violent protesters about something called the Second Amendment. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Police say four officers were hit by gunfire after protests in St. Louis that started peacefully Monday and became violent overnight, with demonstrators smashing windows and stealing items from businesses and fires burning in the downtown area. Police department tweeted early today, that the officers were taken to a hospital with injuries that were not believed to be life-threatening. It was unclear who had fired the shots in St. Louis.
The Senate is back in session for the first time since the death of George Floyd and nationwide protests that have followed.
For millions of Americans, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the latest incidents of black men and women dying in police custody does not look isolated.
They look more like the latest chapter in our national struggle to make equal justice and equal protection of the law into facts of life for all Americans.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says there must be accountability by police departments.
So that bad actors are not shielded from culpability. And those many officers who do the job the right way are incentivized and rewarded.
Several cities have set curfews in response to protests, including Washington, D.C. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
One sheriff in Florida is reminding violent protesters about something called the Second Amendment.
Like many major U.S. cities, Tampa and its Hillsborough County have been the scene of both peaceful and violent protests following the death of George Floyd. Dozens were arrested over the weekend after several businesses were looted and set ablaze. That's raising concerns in neighboring Polk County.
I would tell them if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County.
Sheriff Grady Judd issuing a warning.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
Judd also extending a curfew for his central Florida county. Tom Graham, Fox News.
A mother in England making light of a post-lockdown outing gone wrong.
Lindsay Ibrahim of England taking her four boys to the park after weeks in isolation when her four-year-old ended up getting stuck inside the hole of a tree trunk. Photos show only the child's head and arms sticking out of the stump. Despite social distancing orders, Lindsay says a dad in the park rushed to help and was able to get her son out. The mother says she was initially mortified by the situation, but she's making light of it. Taking to Facebook to thank the kind stranger, she says, climbed the trunk like Spider-Man to rescue her boy and sharing photos. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
At 9 a.m. this morning, we'll have some road construction. And that road construction is going to actually be shutting things down out there. Southbound I-235, ramp to eastbound Kellogg. That's going to close. And again, that's at 9 a.m. this morning. That closure will go until 3 p.m. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
That's a route that I use every morning, so I'm glad that they're closing it after I go through there. Kind of selfish, right? All right, we got the forecast now with KNSS stat meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Some clouds continue to stream northward into south central Kansas overnight. Partly cloudy with sunshine this afternoon and breezy. Our high 89. A few clouds overnight. Our low near 70. Then sunny and really heating up tomorrow. Wednesday's high 95. 97 on Thursday. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now mostly cloudy. We have a south wind at 10 miles per hour. And 67 degrees. Well, the Monarch's back open for dine-in 7 days a week with limited seating inside and on the patio. The Monarch in Delano.
All right.
8:12 now, 7:10 in the morning here on this Tuesday, June 2nd. We had a sunny, warm day across south central Kansas Monday. Wichita's high temperature, 87 degrees. Normal high for the date, 82. So we're a little bit warmer than usual, and we're going to get warmer still. And on this date, in 1969... Wichita chilled out with a temperature of 43 degrees, setting the record low for the month of June, 63 degrees.
That's chilly.
That would have been chilly.
My gosh.
And then, as you can see in the forecast, if you heard listening to us this morning, it's going to start really warming up.
You know, today would have been day five of the River Festival.
Is that right?
Yep.
Day five. It
would have been smack dab and the middle day of the River Festival.
And pretty good weather. We always talked about that. No, is it going to be any rain or whatever? They, again, of course, at one time they moved it. They moved the festival up toward the end. They moved it back into June, right, Ted? It had been in May.
It used to be that kind of the second week of May, and it seemed like just about every other year it was cold and rainy.
So, yeah.
So they finally, after years of discussing it, finally moved it to June, the first week of June, and I think it's worked out pretty well.
It has, but except for this year when we had the pandemic and nobody, they can't do it this year. All right, see, what are we going to talk about this morning? I know you're going to mention the fact. Are you going to mention a birthday coming up in the blur for somebody well-known? Or a guy who may have been on TV back in the 50s?
Oh, yeah, I did have that. You go ahead and mention it.
Well, Jerry Mathers is having a birthday today. He's 72 years old.
A little kid who played the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver.
Just captured America's hearts.
This Theodore little Cleaver. Kid,
Theodore Cleaver, who just... every now and then did something stupid, and and his buddies, a great show.
And now he's 72.
He's 72 years old.
The Beave is 72.
Never
Why
met...
do they call him the Beave?
I'm not
Where
sure.
Where did he get the nickname Beave?
You know, I don't know. I don't think that the character was probably drawn from some sort of kid's book or something. I don't know. We watched him when we were kids, and we had Jerry Mathers as the Beaver, and Tony Dow was his older brother. Wally,
mm-hmm.
and then all these other cast of characters. Jerry Mathers is only 5'7". He's not a tall guy, and he's had three wives. I know that about him. Jerry Mathers, Beaver, 72 years old today. 8:14 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and the George Floyd protests continue as well as some rioting and looting. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland is here from Washington this morning. Give us an idea what's going on. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, good morning. Well, it's looking a little different in the nation's capital this morning. In Lafayette Park right now, there's about an 8-foot chain link fence now installed along the perimeter of that park that prevents people from being able to come close to the park. And our reporters on the scene are saying they're not spotting any new graffiti around the area. So it seems to be calming down in Washington, although last night it was a bit difficult. There were low-flying helicopters over protesters in Chinatown to try to get them to disperse. Around the nation, though, a pretty terrible scene in some cities. We're hearing of police officers shot in Las Vegas, one in the head, as well as some other cities, Richmond, Virginia being another one. So things are still pretty touch and go when it comes to these protests. Not exactly clear about where the president is going to go from here. We heard him speak yesterday calling on governors to call in the National Guard or threatening to send in the U.S. military himself. However, that's just not a click of the snap of the fingers there. My understanding is he would probably have to invoke the Insurrection Act, and even then it might be up to governors as to whether or not U.S. military comes into their states.
You're talking about Lafayette Park, and for those who are not aware of the geography of Washington, D.C., is it not right in front of or next to the White House?
It is. Lafayette Park is right across the north side of the White House. So Pennsylvania Avenue, which was closed to traffic under the Clinton administration, still closed to traffic. So it's all paved. People can walk back and forth. And typically what you'll see, it's maybe about Lafayette Park, maybe about 50 yards from the White House, if that. So when you see the picture of what looks like the front entrance of the White House, then you have Pennsylvania Avenue and then Lafayette Park. And so what's been happening over the past few nights is protesters gathered there in that park trying to knock down the barricades that are there. In situations like this, often you'll see people, though, right there on Pennsylvania Avenue quietly protesting. It's a daily thing. But this has been different, to say the least. And yesterday, protesters were hit with tear gas in the middle of the president's address to reporters talking about how he wants this to stop. And then we saw the president walk straight out of the front door of the White House on the north side and walk through Lafayette Park to St. John's Church, which had been set on fire, luckily survived, and then stood and held a Bible flanked by Defense Secretary Mark Esper and his Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows. Some of it has come under criticism, saying it was a photo op, but the president trying to make a statement there. I've never seen a president just walk out the front door of a White House and go anywhere, other than to, a car.
Yeah. Well, I've heard reports that the Lincoln Monument might have been vandalized. Anything on that?
Yes, I've seen pictures of that, that at least the area around the Lincoln Memorial has been vandalized or graffiti. There's also graffiti on the World War II Memorial on the National Mall. So these are precious monuments, yep, and very difficult. St. John's Church is known as the President's Church because presidents have come there to pray since James Madison, very historic. So very difficult to see that suffer fire damage.
All right. Thanks for the update. We appreciate it, Rachel. That's Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland with an update this morning from Washington, D.C. That really is upsetting to me, that the Lincoln Memorial, of course, right across the street from that is did you say the Vietnam or did you say World War II?
I said World War II.
World War II. Well, anyway. I know the graffiti on them. Sacrilegious. Makes me sick to my heart. 818 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It is sports time with Mr. Ted Woodward. Ted, take it away.
In this time of unrest in the U.S., following the death of George Floyd in police custody last week, some thoughts from Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback. Of course, he spent the latter part of his career with the Kansas City Chiefs. Warren Moon says he wishes the world were more like a locker room. Some thoughts on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, Sports Radio KFH.
Everybody leaves their ethnicity at the door. Everybody leaves their political beliefs, their religious beliefs at the door when they come in the locker room, and it's all about what is our goal, what are we trying to accomplish as a team. And you're on a team with Hispanics, you're on a team with whites, you're on a team with Jewish people, you're on a team with African Americans, and we don't see any of that when we're in the locker room. All we see is we're all fighting together to earn a certain goal, and we all become brothers in that locker room, and it's too bad that society can't be like that. And I think that's one of the reasons why people turn to sports so much when things are going wrong, is because a locker room is a microcosm of what our society could be about if we let it be that. And it's too bad that we don't let it be that. It's too bad that there's too many years of hatred and of being raised a certain way that's ingrained in people that they just can't let it go. But if we could be more like a locker room, I think our society would be and love each other and work better together.
A lot of people talk about team in business and different areas of life. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's talking about. A real team is something where you got individuals who think about the common good more than anything and how we're going to get there together. He's eloquent. He's a great talker.
He's a leader,
love
too.
Love Warren.
Yeah, Warren champion.
Wow.
Winner. Yep, good to hear his thoughts on the situation. What is baseball going to do? Baseball can't seem to really figure it out right now.
According to ESPN, Major League Baseball is now looking at a shorter 2020 season as a way of getting members of the MLB Players Association their full prorated salaries. Things reached a stalemate last week when the union scoffed at an owner-approved proposal for an 82-game season to start in early July that would have seen additional salary cuts on top of prorated pay. The Players Association gave a counteroffer Sunday, seeking a 114-game schedule to start June 30th that would cover just over 70% of players' original salaries. The union and league reached an agreement in March that would guarantee prorated pay in full with no further cuts, regardless of the length of the 2020 season. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
And the NBA is still trying to get its season back on track, but boy, you just can't please everybody, can you? Here's Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA reporter.
I would venture to say that no matter whether they draw the line at 20 or 20, there's going to be someone, no matter the scenario, and I can't take one more scenario, there is going to be someone on some team somewhere that is going to have, no matter the solution that comes out, that is going to be have an issue. I don't know that we can, that the league can achieve total fairness in putting this plan together.
Happy birthday today to Raul Ibanez, former Kansas City Royals outfielder. He is 48 today. 19 years in the big leagues, had an early stint with the Royals, and then finished up with the Royals late in his career at age 42. Pretty good for a guy that was picked in the 36th round. He ended up with 2,000 hits, 300 home runs, drove in 1,200 runs.
Great numbers.
Long year, long career
great
in the big
numbers.
Leagues. Former Royal, Raul Ibanez, 48 today. And a baseball history in Wichita. 90 years ago on this night was the first ever night baseball game in Wichita. It was a game between the Kansas City Monarchs and the Pepperberry All-Pros, two black teams playing each other. Monarchs won that game 12-5. It was held at Island Park in Wichita on Ackerman Island in the Big Arkansas River. A crowd of 3,000 showed up to watch that night game. The Kansas City Monarchs were kind of one of the first barnstorming teams that played night games. They bought their own lights, and they would travel around to Dallas and St. Louis and Wichita and play night baseball games on a truck-mounted generator. Apparently, they had trouble getting the lighting equipment in place here in Wichita. They had to hang white canvas over the outfield signs to kill the glare. Once they got it all up, the first night baseball game in Wichita featuring the great Kansas City Monarchs. That was 90 years ago on this night. And that's sports with Steve and Ted.
8:23 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. No plan for looters? That story had Sean Hannity and traffic and weather coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.